Hi, this is John, by the way, and today I'm looking at the chapters at the end of Nephi's message to the world. This would be 2 Nephi, chapters 31, 32, and 33. I shared this last time, I believe. I love what Brother S. Michael Wilcox has done with this, that 30,000-foot view. So let me just review quickly. The Isaiah chapters are 3 Nephi 12 through 24. And then at the beginning of 3 Nephi 25, Nephi kind of gives those, you know, kind of four keys for understanding Isaiah. And then 25 through 33 are, if from a distance, all about the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. So in a nutshell, 2 Nephi 25, the Jews will reject Christ and apostatize. 2 Nephi 26, the first half, the Lamanites and the Nephites will reject Christ and apostatize. The last half of 2 Nephi 26, the Gentiles will reject Christ and apostatize. 2 Nephi 27, the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. Here's the world's second chance, Brother Wilcox calls it. And 2 Nephi 27 contains those chapters about a book that is sealed. 2 Nephi 28 is kind of the condition of the world when the Book of Mormon comes forth. 2 Nephi 28 is awesome about all the different ways that Satan is working. Others will he pacify and lull them into carnal security, and they'll say all's well in Zion, right? 2 Nephi 29, how will the world react to the coming forth of the Book of Mormon? 2 Nephi 29 contains the a Bible, we have a Bible, we need no more Bible. 2 Nephi 30, the world's second chance will take effect. 2 Nephi 31, how do individuals get involved? There is a follow me in verses 10, 12, 13, 16, 17. And I think last time I was looking, I even noticed another one. And then 2 Nephi 32 and 33, kind of Nephi's last lecture, is feast on the words of Christ or listen to the Holy Ghost. So starting in 2 Nephi 31, we're looking at how do individuals get involved in this world's second chance. And some of the things that I love about 2 Nephi 31 is we have this metaphor of the straight and narrow path, which is biblical, and the Book of Mormon just keeps adding things to it. Now, is it talking about the same path? Maybe it's the same path as the Tree of Life. It just keeps adding stuff to it. For example, verse 17 of 2 Nephi 31, do the things which I have told you that I have seen that your Lord and Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. The gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water. Then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. This is the doctrine of Christ, those first principles and ordinances of the gospel, all encompassed about by we're all striving to do the will of the Father, right? So then you're on, verse 18, this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Now, one of the verses that was a youth theme a couple of years ago was verse 20, wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. Now, verse 20, when I teach this, I actually put that up as the A of a Q&A, because that's the answer to a question, so I've made a little Jeopardy graphic. The answer is, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. So in Jeopardy, they show the answers, and you have to come up with the question. What's the question? The question is 2 Nephi 31, 19. Now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. So we have follow the doctrine of Christ, we've been baptized, now what do? We press forward. This is all a process. Baptism is an event, but it's the beginning of the process of being born again. And now we press forward. Another thing I like to do with this verse is ask my students to point forward. And then I'm usually standing in front of them, right? And so I point forward too. And they notice we're pointing in opposite directions. And I make the comment, because I think it's true, most people would say that going forward is whatever they define it to be. But Nephi doesn't leave us any wiggle room. Nephi says you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. So I like to say forward is Christward. That is how we know we're going forward. He's our true north, to use another metaphor. Verse 21, my beloved brethren, this is the way. There is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ. And we've heard that at last few general conferences, more emphasis on the doctrine of Christ. What I like too is the whole youth program is about creating lifelong disciples of Christ. And just that first word is so important, lifelong. To get on the path and stay on it, that's the hope. Now, the covenant path, I'm sorry to say, has off-ramps, or people make off-ramps. But I'm happy to say the covenant path, the covenant relationship path with the Savior, has on-ramps. He's eager to forgive. And when we mess up, we can get back on. 2 Nephi 32 is one of my favorites because years ago, I found in the seminary manual that each chapter had a little graphic with key words from each chapter in the Book of Mormon that were kind of highlighted. And the little box on 2 Nephi 32 included the prepositional phrase, by the way. So I thought, I'm going to find out what my last name means right here. Because in verse 1 of 2 Nephi 32, it says, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts? Do you not remember that I said? And yeah, this he just said, you got to press forward. And then verse 5 again, behold, again, I say unto you that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things that ye should do. So in the seminary manual, defined is on the path that leads to eternal life, which makes me happy. That's from an official publication of the church. My name means on the path. So next time you see me, you can call me Brother On the Path. Anyway, I want to go backwards a bit because in verse 3, it says, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. And verse 5, the Holy Ghost will show you all things what you should do. So we've got kind of a show and tell thing there, and which I like. And on the Follow Him podcast, I told a story of Tad Derrick, who was an F-100 pilot in Vietnam, who needed an answer in the very moment when he needed it. And when he was watching his wingman in the water in the Mekong River and boats coming towards him, he needed to know what to do. Thankfully, when he asked, the Spirit didn't say, go home and read your scriptures, because there was no time. He was worthy, and he got an answer right away. And I like that, the feast upon the words of Christ, they will tell you, and then receive the Holy Ghost, and it will show you. And I think we could add, perhaps, maybe in the very moment that you need it. And sometimes not sooner. Sometimes we'd like the Lord to talk to us a little quicker than He does. Verses 8 and 9 are important verses in 2 Nephi 32. If ye would hearken unto the Spirit, which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. So now we know from a very good source that if we ever have that feeling, I can't pray, or that feeling I'm not worthy to pray, or something like that, now we know where it came from. It wasn't God. It is the evil spirit that tells someone they can't pray. Nephi says, but behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always, and not faint, that ye must not perform, and I like this, anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father, turn my page, in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. Now, maybe I can apply that performance to lots of things. Maybe it's performing your duty, your calling, your role as a member of your family, whatever that is. But I think the Lord, if it's important to us, I believe it's important to Him. And we can have Him help us with anything that we need. 2 Nephi 33 now is 15 verses, Nephi's last words, and some of the things which he says here have always been interesting to me. And one of those things is that the Bible has a different tone of voice than the Book of Mormon. I love them both. Book of Mormon has the prophets talking about meeting us, meeting the readers one day. 2 Nephi 33:7, Nephi says, "I have charity for my people and great faith in Christ that I shall meet many souls spotless at his judgment seat." Now, sometimes when I share that with the young people, I read it, I ask them to read along, and I skip the word spotless. I read it like this: "I have charity for my people and great faith in Christ that I shall meet many souls at his judgment seat." And then hopefully they'll notice, what word did I miss? You missed spotless. Yet not only does Nephi want to meet us, but most importantly, he wants to meet us spotless, meaning we have applied the atonement to our lives. The Savior has cleansed us. The title page of the Book of Mormon says, the last words of the title page, you can hear me turning there, "that ye may be found spotless at the judgment seat of Christ." And Nephi says it right there. Some of the last words in the Book of Mormon, and I love to talk about this, so sorry if you've heard me talk about this before. Moroni 10:33, the last verse of the Book of Mormon is Moroni 10:34, but the end of Moroni 10:33, "ye are sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot." First page, last page, and here's Nephi saying, "I want to meet you spotless." Now, Nephi sounds a little defensive here in verse 11. Knowing how the world's going to receive the Book of Mormon, we saw that in 2 Nephi 29 a few chapters ago. Nephi says in verse 11, "Now, if they are not the words of Christ, judge ye. For Christ will show unto you with power and great glory that they are his words at the last day. And you and I shall stand face to face before his bar. And ye shall know that I have been commanded of him to write these things, notwithstanding my weakness." So I've always loved that. Nephi says, "I'm going to meet you. I want to meet you spotless. And we'll meet face to face," which is exciting to me. I'd love to meet Nephi face to face, because that means I'll be resurrected slightly taller. Maybe I'll be resurrected large in stature. At least I'd like to think so. Years ago, Deseret Book published a book called Heroes of the Book of Mormon. And what I appreciated about this book, it wasn't just a compilation of different conference talks, general conference talks under the topic of the Book of Mormon. These chapters were individually written just for this book. And Elder, at the time, Russell M. Nelson, wrote the chapter on Nephi. And this is what he said. Quote, "Nephi was a multifaceted genius, endowed with great physical stature. He was a prophet, teacher, ruler, colonizer, builder, craftsman, scholar, writer, poet, military leader, and father of nations. Nephi had a sincere desire to know the mysteries of God. He became a special witness and a trusted prophet of the Lord. Nephi lived an adventurous life and faced numerous difficulties. Some of the challenges he faced include fleeing Jerusalem, building a ship, crossing the waters to the Promised Land, colonizing, withstanding persecution, fulfilling family and leadership responsibilities, and keeping records. Toward the end of his inspiring life, Nephi wrote his concluding testimony and bore witness of the doctrine of Christ, the power of the Holy Ghost, and the truthfulness of the words he had written. Appropriately, his final testimony closed with the words that could be known as his signature, 'I must obey.'" That's from Heroes from the Book of Mormon, published by Bookcraft in 1995, page 15. Let's read that last verse. "For what I seal on earth shall be brought against you at the judgment bar. For thus hath the Lord commanded me, and I must obey. Amen." And those are the last words we hear from Nephi. It's kind of fun to look for last words, I think. Nephi's last words, "I must obey." Stay tuned, and I'll tell you about Abinadi's last words on a future lesson. Well, I hope this has been helpful for you today. I love how these chapters all center on the coming forth of the Book of Mormon and what we as individuals and what the world will do with it. Next, we will talk about Easter. And that's been kind of fun because each of these books of Scripture talk about Easter or the resurrection. And we will look at it from a Book of Mormon perspective. See you next time.